You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Hey everyone, Joe Thrashenkill here. I've got a very special bonus episode of Toilet Radio for you, and I really love doing this. I love recording, I love doing the podcast, and I like making you guys listen to my words. So I hope that you'll enjoy an extra dosage of my words this week. This one it's just me flying solo. I did an interview with Axe Slasher, and it's all about Pizzagate. Now, I wanted to give you a little backstory. If you don't know what Pizzagate is, if you don't follow convoluted bullshit internet conspiracy theories, I'd like to fill you in. You may recall hearing a story a few months ago about the Democratic National Convention being hacked. And that is true. That is a thing that actually happened. Some hacker got in and took all of these internal communications from the DNC. John Podesta, the chairman of Hillary Clinton's hilarious failure of a presidential campaign, is a wildly incompetent idiot. Months ago, he clicked on a phishing link in his email and gave up his credentials to some lucky hacker. In his defense, he asked his IT guy if it was a legit link. The IT guy mailed back that it was legitimate. Later, he would realize that he meant to write back it was not legitimate, which is amazing. And with that, the DNC gave thousands and thousands of internal communications to their hacker friend. And these are some of the people who ran one of the most expensive campaigns in United States history. Just good job all around, fellas. WikiLeaks released every one of these emails in a giant file to anyone on the internet that wanted to sift through them. And as you can imagine, the kind of person that sifts through thousands of banal emails between lanyard-wearing Washington, D.C. dickheads is a kind of an obsessive weirdo. So, John Podesta and, to a greater extent, Tony Podesta, his brother, are both extremely wealthy, which means that they have awful taste in everything, including and especially modern art. It was revealed that John Podesta attended a performance art event with Marina Abramovich, who is a very wealthy and very awful cutting-edge performance artist, or an edge lord, if you will. It was called Spirit Cooking, and in which they did all kinds of dumbass rich people art shit, and it was like a meal that referenced all of this arcane satanic ritual, like in the vein of Aleister Crowley. So if any one of us could have been there, I'm sure that we would have just all found it astoundingly moronic. Anyway, the idea that John Podesta would be involved in some kind of satanic ritual is enough to make an already suspicious conspiracy theorist go on high alert that there may be a hidden cabal of evil Satanists in the highest levels of politics and society. A little throwback to the Satanic Panic, you know, in the 80s people were all about this stuff. So, sifting further through these emails, there was a correspondence between John and the owner of Comet Pizza, a hip DC pizza restaurant event space. They do all ages shows there, you know, which, you know, you are a metal fan, you know what that is. That's a thing that, you know, it's a show that doesn't involve alcohol. Duh. The owner mentioned that Podesta left behind his handkerchief at the pizza place at an event recently, you know, as someone might do if you were some kind of genteel idiot that carried a handkerchief. From there, the conspiracy theories further analyzed messages back and forth and determined that something untoward was going on between these two guys. They decided that there was secret coded language going on between them. Through increasingly tortured logic, these folks decided that things like pizza and pasta were actually coded language for child sex slaves. Seriously, that's what Pizzagate is all about. These folks have like a fucking Russ Cole board of spiderwebs leading from high-ranking DC officials to pizza restaurants the country over that they suspect are actually hidden fronts for pedophilia. And it's all kind of reached a fever pitch a couple of weeks ago, when some internet commando brought a fucking gun to Comet Pizza and threatened the wait staff, demanding to know where they kept the child slaves. So, of course, he didn't find anything and was arrested and later said that he kind of thought he shouldn't have done that. This is all asinine in a way that blows my mind. And it has now reached the world of metal, too. Axe Slasher, a very cool Cali-based death metal band, is a big fan of pizza. You know, as most of us are, I would say. They created a logo of a pizza pentagram, and somehow, improbably, the nutbags that follow Pizzagate think that Axe Slasher is somehow involved in this conspiracy. So I reached out to Axe Slasher so that we could talk about all of this crazy shit. And what follows, what you're about to hear, is one of the most fun conversations I've ever had on the show, and I hope you enjoy this all as much as I did. For folks listening to this show that have never heard Axe Slasher before, I just wanted to give a little bit of background. You guys play a kind of a horror influence, thrash, kind of death metal, throwback vibe. It is very, very cool. And also you're involved in a child sex ring.
These are both things that are very true.
You know, what's left to shock people, right? Other than that, fuck's sake. I thought that there's going to be nothing left, but now that that's been lobbed at us, fuck, I don't know.
You've really broken through, like Judas Priest during the Satanic Panic. They didn't hit anything near as evil as that.
That's kind of, I feel really good about that. Like, it sucks that it's something as gross as child sex and shit like that, but you're right. No one during that time hit anything as, like, totally perverse. And when it comes to Pizzagate, I'm totally guilty of falling for it for about 10 minutes. I remember I found some Reddit thread or some shit like that days before we got roped into it. And I remember like turning to Dr. Girlfriend and saying something like, oh my God, there's crazy shit going on in the world. And yeah, I went to bed and I woke up and I was like, there's no way any of that's true. And I started looking it up. And lo and behold, little did I know that we were a mouthpiece for Hillary Clinton. And we were, you know, part of the satanic propagandization of the nation's youth.
Yeah, I don't believe that Pizzagate's a real thing. I do believe that John Podesta is a tremendous creep in some way, just not in the ways that are being reported right now.
I do too. And like if we could get serious about that for a moment, like I think that the Podestas, like one of the things that people keep trotting out and saying and pointing to as evidence as them being, you know, child rapists and into all this terrible shit is their taste in art.
And holy shit, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad.
If I look around my walls, like, and you're going to judge me based off of that kind of shit, I'm going in the slammer. And I can't live in a country where that's kind of like, you look at my art that I create myself, fucking Axe Slasher, or just the visual art that I put out there. And then the art that I'm a patron of too, the kind of art that I want to see more of, people like Putrid and, you know, Vertebrae and all those guys that are doing awesome shit.
Oh yeah. Vertebrae is awesome.
Yeah, his stuff is awesome. And he runs that cool website where he's giving back to the community and talking to people about, you know, just it's cool that there's someone who's like recognizing that metal art doesn't get any reverence from, you know, like the wider art crew or anything like that. And I think that that's cool that he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna be the guy. But regardless, like back to the Podestas and their taste in art, like, okay, yes, some of the things that they have there are like really creepy. Like I think Podesta's brother has some really creepy paintings that are children in like kind of compromising places. And like, I don't agree with that art. It's not something I would ever patron, but I don't think I agree with the idea that someone shouldn't be able to make that and sell it. And someone shouldn't be able to buy it if they want it. Like, it's a weird gray area where I could see, I understand why it makes people uncomfortable, but I also feel like art has room to make people uncomfortable. And we should all just be like, that's kind of its point. And we have to look into the intent behind it. Right. It's all about intent. So I could paint a gory photo of like a lady being chopped up, but that doesn't mean that I want to chop ladies up, or it doesn't mean that I believe ladies should be chopped up and their places to be chopped up. These are all just, you know, I'm drawing upon old metaphors that, you know, I think are visually interesting. And then you kind of mentioned that Axe Slasher's whole thing is like modern retro. That's how I like to be. Like, you know, I like to flip roles in unexpected ways or things like that. So what I'm really getting at is like, everyone seems to be misinterpreting a strange taste for art and, you know, busy people writing emails as some sort of sex ring. So, and I can't believe that's the world we're in.
There are a number of really, really interesting things that you touched on there. And I guess to scroll back a bit, I believe it's John. I think it's John. I don't think it's his brother. His brother is a known art collector that has this like sculpture of some kind of victim from John Wayne Gacy in his home.
Oh, you know, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. And I know I know exactly the sculpture you're referring to. And it's basically like a guy. It's the form of a human. It's got an arched back and it's kind of missing the head and the hands and a couple of things like that. Right? That's the one we're talking about.
So the
theory that the Pizzagate guys are floating out there is that that is a representation of the way that Jeffrey Dahmer left one of his victims.
Ah, Dahmer, okay, gotcha.
But that very well may be true, but you can't make that assumption without looking at some of the things that come with buying a piece of expensive art. Like, you know, particularly the provenance of who owned it, why, was it a commission, why was it made? And then, you know, if it was ever displayed in a gallery before sale, what was the statement that went with that? What was the artist's intent? What is their words on this piece? Because just because it looks like the same, like it coincidentally looks like the way Jeffrey Dahmer left one of his victims, doesn't mean that that's what the artist is expressing. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, people think that because it's missing the head, it's a sinister thing. But let me float this out to you. If you're making a body cast to create a sculpture that looks like a human body, the easiest thing you can do is cover someone in plaster and then fill that with something and turn that into a mold, right? So if you're covering someone and they need to be in a precarious position, like their back arched, maybe you're not going to cover their head so that they can at least breathe for those 4 or 5 hours that it's going to take for something like that to harden. That could just be like a natural byproduct of the sculpture's creation, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a reference to Jeffrey Dahmer, but maybe I'm speaking out of school and maybe this artist is kind of a creep like me. And that's kind of what he was getting at. He's like, it's a Jeffrey Dahmer body made out of gold. I can see the funniness about that and like respect that as art too.
What is the saying? Never attribute to malice what you can attribute to human laziness.
Yes, I think it's laziness and stupidity are the two. And that's like, you know, I actually take that phrase super seriously because I used to be the kind of person that's like, oh, everyone's trying to fuck me. Why are you trying to fuck me? And really it's not. It's just people are being careless and they're not paying attention to how their actions are affecting you. And it's like you have a much smoother life if you go through it going, hey, I didn't like the way that worked. Can we talk about it? Rather than, oh, I think you're trying to fuck me, so we're done.
That's a really healthy way of looking at things. So let's completely reverse the situation.
Yes. Yes. Let's get out of the fun. Like, let's
get out of happy fun zone and go back into dark territory.
So for folks that weren't aware, and I wasn't aware until Metal Sucks reported on it, which is a weird thing for me to say. It's like, oh yeah, this hard-hitting reporting from Metal Sucks. your band has been implicated in this phenomenon of Pizzagate.
Yes.
And which is mind-blowing.
Yes.
And especially how much this has grown and how much fervor these people have. The guy in D.C. bringing a fucking assault rifle into Comet Pizza, thinking that he was going to get to the bottom of things. So they've taken your logo for the band, the pizza pentagram, the pizza gram.
Yes.
And have decided that this is another sinister symbol that shows that you're sympathetic or somehow in cahoots with these hypothetical rapists in the government.
Yes, yes. That's the long and short of it. And the fucked up thing is, like, I think the only way we were discovered is because these dickheads started using our symbol for their movies, like for their stupid propagandizing YouTube videos. They put our fucking pizzagram up into the, like, the thumbnail of it. It says Pizzagate, children being raped, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I think eventually someone went around and was like, how was I able to find this piece of art that I stole off the internet that I'm using to represent everything? Like, maybe this has something to do with the big conspiracy theory.
It's been a clue all along.
Right, like, it was right in front of us. How did we not know this? Like, oh, man. I think that they started using it, and then all of a sudden someone was like, well, where did this come from? And one thing leads to another, and, you know, someone makes a vote thread, and you know, that's, like, maybe the funniest thing I've ever read about Axelasher. Like, I've read terrible reviews, and those are hilarious to me, but nothing has been funnier than watching people, like, debate my online footprint, which up until this point has never ever affected me in any way whatsoever. Like, no one has ever, like, I've never been, I've held jobs that, you know, I think I'm really excited about my career and things outside of Axelasher, and I've held jobs that I feel are respectable. Not once has anyone, like, found an Axelasher thing and been like, this is sinister. It's always just like, clearly you're having a good time and go be you, buddy. But this time around, we got locked up into it. I think it has a lot to do with, like, the mindset of the people that are interested in this conspiracy, or the ones that are taking it up as a cause. Like, there's a lot of mother henning, like, oh, I got to protect the babies. Think of the children, right? There's a lot of, like, those people, and I sympathize with that. I don't have children. I fucking hate children. But, I mean, I understand that if you have one, it's probably pretty special. I have a dog, and that's the closest I think I'll ever get. But I love the fuck out of that dog. And if someone was going around raping dogs, I'd want to take up that cause and fucking get them out of here. But, like, the logic that they use is essentially, like, it's very, what do you call it? It's confirmation bias, I think, is the term for it. But it's, like, everything that they look at that could be coincidentally explained, that's never even enters into their mind, right? Like, they find this one little connection that pizza in the child database of, or in the FBI database of, you know, I'm already conflating things, because they're not even using the FBI database for these code words that they're looking for inside of the emails. They're literally referencing Urban Dictionary for things like referencing cheese pizza meaning small child, or pasta meaning little boy. And,
right, which
and
is things like terminology that came out of fucking 4chan. You know, global elites that fucking troll the B-board.
Dude, well, I honestly think the entire thing is a 4chan concoction. Like, I might be dating myself and revealing too much about, you know, my history with the internet, but I was a big part of, like, Something Awful and a lot of those, like, forums that, you know, shaped 4chan and were really instigators of shit in the beginning of the internet. And I, you know, like, Slender Man came out of Something Awful and a whole bunch of other stuff, but, like, the idea of a meme before everyone knew that it was a meme and Richard Dawkins, like, gave the coin to it, it was something that we would do in, like, little social engineering campaigns, and all it was designed was to wind up other people, right? Like, you'd come out with some ridiculous cause and, like, defend it to death with a straight face, and that was, like, what, and if you could convince enough people to do that, you would eventually get more people to believe in the bullshit than go against it, and you could actually watch entire sections of people become unreasonable. And I feel like this is that on, like, a tremendous scale that I can't even fathom it, but it just feels so familiar to, like, you know, logging into some ICQ that only you and 10 other people have the password for, and going and talking to the 5 people who've spent all day talking about the social engineering campaign and saying, okay, here's what we're going to do to do this today, to fuck with the guys who are really into working out. We're going to go in and we're going to talk about how eat and cum is a natural source of protein. And here's the science article.
You're the guy that tricked me into that.
But you know, I mean, that would be the thing. And it would be like, you'd get 20 to 30 people to start chiming in. Like, ever since I started eating my cum, I've been able to push my personal records up until 40 or 50. And then you'd all of a sudden, like, the one thing you're hoping for is a dude to come back and be like, guys, I tried my cum, and here's my, like, trip log, and, like, you're waiting for some guy to, like, jump on the bandwagon and try to steal the thread so that he can be the star. And really, you're just convinced some dude to eat his cum for no reason. Like, you finally get to the final page, and you're like, if you would have just left it in your body, you would have been better off.
This honestly all sounds like the career path of Alex Jones. He's like, nobody's right. Gonna fucking believe that. Holy shit, they are.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at all these, like, I hate using language that other people are using quite a bit, but I'm going to go ahead and use a like popular term and talk about fake news, because I think that that's like a big issue, because I think it was the now I'm losing my source, but essentially someone took like made a diagram of how quote unquote fake news sites operate. And if you're familiar with ICANN Has Cheeseburger, it's a very similar operation where it's like you make 500 websites, you pump out content that's really easy to make and really quick to turn out, and then you just do a bunch of ads that basically target it towards the people you think are going to respond to it, and whatever works you put more money into, and that turns into more revenue for you, and whatever doesn't you just let die. So apparently there's a lot of people doing that on both sides, and if you interview the people who use that as their business model, they actually say things like, no, I targeted both sides, but just the conservatives were way more profitable because they could not stop sharing this shit. Whereas, you know, that's interesting to me. I don't want to cast aspersions on 50% of the country or whatever the fuck. But it's interesting that, you know, someone with a shitty business model of just using Facebook ads to get you to believe bullshit and share it to someone found that, hey, there's a group of like-minded people that are way more susceptible to this stuff. And I feel like they strengthen that. Alex Jones, and there's a guy out here in Orange County that, I don't know his name, and I don't know if I should even say it if I did, but he's a big Pizzagate pusher. And I look at that guy as just like scum of the fucking earth. Yeah, that piece of shit. That son of a bitch. that fucking cuck. Exactly. That to steal their term and use it back at him. That fucking cuck.
Any man that has a lisp like that, I cannot respect.
Oh, yeah, but you know, they both do that same thing where I'm the only news source you can trust. It's like an abusive boyfriend or some shit, like, you can only trust me. I'm the truth. There is nothing more. So that even if, like, someone comes out and goes, hey, I have a lot of facts here that kind of prove you wrong, and, you know, I'd like to open your mind to concepts like confirmation bias and maybe other persuasion techniques that seem to be taking your audience by hold, and they'd fucking hit you in the mouth and be like, don't tell them how I'm controlling them. That is exactly what I don't want you to know. Like, it's almost this weird fucking, what are your plans to do with this shit after? Like, all I'm trying to do is get as many people as possible to listen to my music and look at my art. What's your fucking ulterior motive, Cernovich?
That's a good question. And I've wanted to do this for a while. He's, you know, never come up on this podcast, but I'm glad he did now. Hey, Mike Cernovich, if you're listening right now, I challenge you to a fist fight, you shrimp cuck manlet.
Yes, shrimp cuck manlet. Fucking fist fights with Joe Thrashingkill. You can't handle it, motherfucker. I'm in the hype corner. I'm throwing bows, too, if shit gets real.
So it brings so many questions to mind once you see this many people obsess with something that is so obviously a hoax and getting so violently worked up about it. Like, you read the comments on that Metal Sucks story. You saw both otherwise normal metalheads, however normal you can be reading Metal Sucks, of course. And then, of course, the weirdos that are fucking following you everywhere because they're convinced that you're part of some kind of pedophilic cabal.
Yes, so that was actually a lot of fun for me, because, like, I just kind of, you know, once Metal Sucks posted that, I got really excited because I was like, this is, you know, a turning moment. I can have a lot of fun with this, or I can, you know, like I just said, I got old school internet in me that's, like, steeped in just this kind of nihilism that revolves around fun. So I was like, let's fuck with it, you know, like, I'm not going to
I'm not going to come out here and do some statement like, oh, you know, Axe Slasher has never touched a child. We've never been in the room with one. We, you know, like, which everyone feels like they have to do on the internet. So I just laid back and I just kind of seeing what happened on that article. Like, what's the general reaction? Because my feeling was that it was going to be a bunch of people going, haha, that's funny. And it would get like maybe one or two views and, you know, it'd get buried by some story about Phil Anselmo. And, But that didn't happen. People kept coming back to it and arguing. So I was like, well, I'm going to fuck with some people. And I figured, like, what's the best thing I could do? If they really believe this, if they truly believe it, the best thing I can do is to say something along the lines of, like, you should be less public with what you know about this to a lot of these things. And, I did that, and I had, a self-satisfaction. I was like, oh, I did my little internet goof for the day. And I went away, and when I came back, people were on Twitter were DMing me links to like other Twitter threads of people like repeating what I was saying in the Metal Sucks thing, and like people trying to signal boost it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, this is fucking amazing. So I'm at this point, I'm fully motivated to fuel the fire and fuck with shit. So I'm throwing up every awful thing I can imagine. I'm playing live streams of We Kill Children by Bad Luck 13, and I'm tagging Comet Pizza, and I'm just trying to attract all this negativity, because to me it's so silly. Like, come to my house, search my shit. I got nothing to hide except for maybe a bag of weed that, you know, I probably got a card for somewhere. But, like, I just think it's hilarious that anyone could even believe that. But then that motherfucker brought a gun into the goddamn pizza place, and I stopped immediately because I was like, this is not funny anymore. Like, if my actions at all contributed to that, I want to stop it immediately because it's not funny anymore. It's not fun. Like, if it's just dumb people getting worked up, that's okay. But I forgot that we live in America where it's totally cool to be a dumb fuck idiot and you can buy a gun.
Yeah, I love that. He's walking to a fucking pizza place to get to the bottom of this horrific thing that he read about on the internet that's pretty sure is happening, and he's like, yeah, I should definitely own this gun.
I just don't get it. Like, what were you gonna do if you got, like, what if it turned into a hostile situation or like every horror movie you've ever seen, and they're like, sure, come in, let's see the basement. Oh, and then they lock the fucking door behind you like that. You didn't even consider that. Like, cool, you got a gun, but if their entire facility is built around trafficking and hiding bodies for sexual torture, I think they're going to be prepared for a little asshole like pissant coming in there and trying to shoot the place up. But they're not. They're a fucking pizza place. And like, people who are just working, I've worked at pizza places, I've worked at sandwich jobs, and it's like scary as fuck if someone comes in there with a bad attitude, let alone like threatening you over some shit that clearly doesn't exist.
Man, I feel truly terrible for the poor employees that have to deal with these fucking wing nuts.
And you know what's crazy is, like, I've gone through all the stuff that they pulled out of that dude's Instagram, and honestly, it's a gay dude with a twisted sense of humor. That's it. There's nothing more to see here. Like, you know, they pull up these photos of a little kid with her hands taped to a table. And if you look into that, there's crayons everywhere, implying there's probably multiple little kids. And what the fuck do little kids do when they're unsupervised? They fuck with each other. They tie each other up. They do crazy shit. And like, you come back and you go, well, I can't believe that you guys got into this. He snaps a little photo. He's a gay dude with a twisted sense of humor. He throws up some slang from Urban Dictionary he thinks is hilarious because it probably is, in the way that he said it and the affect that he used in his mind when he wrote it. But you don't get that when you pull that out of an Instagram and put it next to an FBI definition of whatever that fucking word is that he thought was hilarious, like otter pop, or I don't even know what the fuck gay slang he was using that was like. But that's all it was. And it was like that misunderstanding of humor to the degree that all of a sudden everyone's fucking children and worshiping Satan. And I don't know, how do we make that jump in logic?
It's amazing, and it's amazing that people are feel like they're capable of finding all of these cryptic messages in these emails, email chains from Podesta. And you know what? Most people don't do this, but if you were going to go through some random person's email chain, it's probably going to look pretty fucking cryptic because you don't know what the hell they're talking about. You are not involved in this AB conversation. You don't understand the intricacies of what's going on. You're like a child walking in the middle of the movie and saying, what's going on?
Totally. And I'd like to add an extra layer to that. And I don't know if it makes me sound like an asshole, but like, dealing with busy people, you know, people that run companies, people that are trying to run half the world, people that are trying to run the most powerful country in the world. They're busy. So email is not the way that these fucking, you know, chain letter forwarding, novel writing fucks are using email. The way they use it is to make note of the conversations they just had. Hey, we just met. We had 15 minutes. Here's the things we agreed upon. Here's the promises that we need to fulfill with each other. And if I got time, I'm going to include a little personal thing. You know, maybe, should we get pizza? It's like, is that just because they're not used to dealing with busy people? I don't understand. Like, I don't see anything in there that I'm like, that's crazy. Like, the one phrase that people keep pulling out and saying there's no way to explain is that, I think one of them said, do you think I'll have better luck playing dominoes on pizza or pasta? Now, let's think about all just the general autocorrect options that could be there, right? Like, maybe he was saying, should I pick up pasta or pizza from Domino's? But it came out autocorrected in some god-awful fucking thing that now looks like he likes to fuck a kid or two.
Yeah, I mean, they're all using Blackberries because that's what nerds in DC do. So, you know, It all comes out jumbled.
Exactly.
Now, did you ever think that you would be here, like, stumping for some of the most powerful people in the world? Because I didn't think I would, but here I am.
Yeah, I don't know. I never thought I'd be defending these assholes because, frankly, I feel like they don't have like any of our best interests in line. But certainly don't believe that they're fucking children and worshiping Satan. Because if they were worshiping Satan, I think I'd see them on my customer sheet at some point. I don't see any of their names there.
So have you seen any increase in Facebook activity or Bandcamp sales or anything since this?
Dude, merch sales were on fire while I was fucking with things.
Fuck yes.
And that was like another main motivator to start having fun with it. But like I said, as soon as that dude brought the gun in there, I stopped all that because it's like, if I had anything to do with it, like I don't think I did, but that could never be on my conscience, right? Like, the only death I want on my conscience is if I accidentally raise, you know, zombies or some shit. Like, then I'll deal with that. But like, you know, some guy freaking out and bringing a gun in somewhere, I don't want that on my fucking... I don't know. That's just not me.
So I got to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a conspiracy theory that you do believe in?
Yeah, there's a few. Some of them are more like, I just wish. And then there's a couple that, you know, wouldn't that be cool? Doesn't that kind of explain some things? Like, I've always, since I was a kid, we'll go over like the big ones, right? Like, I've always hoped, wished and dreamed that there's a Bigfoot out there or some sort of undiscovered, you know, creature. I've always been into cryptozoology, and like, as I get older, it's more of just like a fun study of mythology, but I'm still interested in like that slight chance that there may be a creature out there we've never discovered that blows our minds and, you know, defies the laws of physics or something like that. I think that Area 51, I don't know if there's aliens there or anything like that, but I feel like it's got some creepy shit going on. Can't give you any more information than that.
I'll back you on that. As a kid, I went to like the UFO museum in Roswell like 6 times. I was really, really into it. I still believe there's something out there. They found something in Roswell, man.
I think that is very well possible, right? Like, I feel I'm one of those people that I don't think aliens are coming here and like testing us or anything like that. But I do think that, like, mathematically, just what I believe in the universe, there's got to be something else out there, whether it's just another, like, monkey race just coming to their own, or maybe it's, like, some Cthulhu-type thing that, you know, sucks the oil out of the planet. I don't know, but there's got to be something else out there. Like, it seems like the way life itself is set up is just a bunch of small experiments in a whole bunch of different environments, and it's just, like, what works and what doesn't. That's if I could break evolution down into anything. So it stands to reason that there's a billion other little experiments going on around all those billions of stars up there. And that also ties into like simulation theory. I don't know if that's a conspiracy theory or not, but the more I keep thinking about that, the more I think that shit might be some sort of simulation or ancestral simulation that our future selves are trying to figure out where the hell shit all went wrong.
Well, you know, I think it's, shit, I'm trying to remember, Peter Thiel, I believe, is investing in that to, like, do research and if it's all a simulation. That guy's a fucking ghoul, too, but, you know, I'll allow him to spend some of his billions of dollars to figure the shit out.
Absolutely. And Elon Musk, if he wants to spend his billions, like if he wants to spend his billions of dollars on a simulation, it's like, hey, man, if you believe it's a simulation, spend your fake credits.
Yeah, dude. There are so many worse things these dudes could be spending their monstrous wealth on. So more power to
you. Yeah. Trump's going to put his thumb up their ass and start pushing that ball forward.
Yeah, the future looks a little dark, man.
Dude, it's so funny. Like, for the last 8 years, I've had, like, struggles internally just, like, is metal ever going to be shocking again?
You did
it. You know, because...
you did it.
I wish we just got drug into it, but it worked in our favor. But, like, that's exactly how I felt. It was like, you know, I felt like, damn, shit's progressing so much, and I'm generally, like, a progressive-minded person, so I like seeing all that kind of stuff. And I was like, damn, we're moving quick. Shit, I didn't know we were going to get this quick. Like, we might be a decent race by the time I'm fucking, you know, old and in the ground. But I remember very distinctly when George W. Bush was president, that's when I actually started playing punk music. And that's when, I don't know, that's where I formed, essentially. That's where Axel Asher formed all my ideals. Like, when I learned to play guitar was because I was like, damn, the government sucks. The world's fucking shitty. Everyone's out to get you. It's just fuck, fuck, fuck. And as soon as Trump got elected, it felt like the switch flipped and we're back to where we were when I was 16. And I'm looking around, I'm like, holy shit. That's all it took was a different dude in the office. That's all it took.
That actually makes sense. Like, over the last several years, I felt like metal, especially like the fringes, has become increasingly like fascist and white supremacist and like, mm-hmm. you know, super into this shit that I don't like at all. And I think that it was trying to rebel against the prevailing notions of the time, which are, you know, sense of inclusiveness and diversity. So it makes sense if the power that be, you know, is more of the fascist variety, that we're getting back to my wheelhouse, man, which is, you know, fuck the man.
Exactly. Like, I know how to operate in this system. I've been here before. I was having like a little Twitter conversation with Scotty from Tank Crimes, just kind of about like, holy shit, rules. Dude. He's the best, right? Is he not the best? He's got to be the best. Like, just not best as in like best record label, but best as in just best human. He's a pretty good one if there ever was one. But we were just kind of talking about, you know, like Ghost Ship and how DIY venues like seem to be under fire. And I found some, of course, 4chan post, which, as we mentioned earlier in the conversation, these social engineering campaigns. I found one that was essentially a guy who was like, here's the step-by-step plan to shut down these fucking liberal indoctrination factories called DIY art spaces / show spaces. And it was like a step-by-step way to search Facebook for the right keywords to find basically show flyers and events for DIY spaces. And then how to like exactly find where their addresses are and all that kind of shit, and exactly what department of the police to report it to. And my theory is that the post itself was designed to wind people like me up. So I see that and I'm like, how fucking dare you shut down the art spaces, you motherfucker. But the more I think about it, I'm like, that's exactly what he wanted. But then I worry about the other people, like the Pizzagate people, who actually believe that that shit's real and want to look into it and actually take that up as a cause and start shutting down all these spaces that literally save, you know, young punk kids' lives. I don't know. It's fucking ridiculous to me.
So I saw that go around as well, and I thought maybe it was either, you know, it's trying to wind people up or it was made by a cop.
Yeah. I forget that they use Facebook now, and they use it in the same kind of way that a Pizza Gator would.
Hey, fellow kids, have you heard about any illegal DIY shows?
Wearing a shirt that says Music Lightning Bolt Band.
Exactly. You know, I gotta wonder why all of these Pizzagate people are, you know, want to be vigilantes. Why don't they consider, like, calling the cops or something? Like,
well, they're also the same tinfoil hats who are like, you can't call the cops because they're in on it, man.
Oh, yeah.
They're also in the Hillary's, like, pocket, too.
There's also, like, a billion fucking charities out there and networks to help children who are being abused. And you could, like, volunteer your time with one. You could give some money to one. Or Let me throw this out there. You could get your gun and you could walk down the street to your pizza place and harass the people making minimum wage behind the counter.
Tell them to show you the underground tunnel. Show them to me. Yeah, that sounds like exactly the thought process he went through. I'm sure that he weighed both of those options carefully and considered that, you know, maybe that the association against human trafficking out there should be alerted to such a thing if it exists, or, you know, I'm sure he went through all those proper precautions before taking up arms and you know, going the vigilante route.
No, I'm going to get the gun.
It's kind of funny, though, is like now they do interviews with that guy and he's basically like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I've made a huge mistake.
So, back to the band, aside from the controversy you're generating, what's next? Where do you plan to go from here? Because I assume that you want to probably distance a bit from these nut jobs.
No, we're going to double down on the craziness. One song is in the works called No Limits Fun. I'm not sure if you're familiar with No Limits Fun or why that phrase is significant to the Pizzagate thing, but there was a guy, I believe his name was Peter Scully, and he lived in Malaysia when he was caught for this. But essentially, he was a murderer from Australia, moved to Malaysia, and started a company called No Limits Fun. And he actually trafficked children and killed them live on the dark net for a fee. So you would pay.
Holy shit, that's real?
Yes, this is real. This is real shit. He's in jail. He's totally in jail now for this shit, but this is real shit. But his company was literally called No Limits Fun, and you can look things up on the internet. I've never actually watched any of their videos because fuck that. That's a little.
No, this sounds like the plot to like 9mm or some shit.
Exactly. It's like, it's so creepy the deeper you get into it. But essentially, there's a couple of videos that leaked that were, you know, captures from some of these live streams, and they're horrific. You can, I've never seen them, but I've watched some, this is how horrific it is. I've watched reaction videos of people who have seen it, and those are tough to watch. Just people affected by these videos. So it's like, this is what that guy was selling, and it's on the dark net, so it's all anonymous, and I guess it was super secretive to be a part of. And it's one of those things that doesn't even sound like it's real, but it was real. So that's the next song that's planned, is, you know, an explanation of that kind of shit and how it actually worked. And my intention there is maybe to draw attention to more real creepy things than having people pay attention to just some fucking chain letter.
Man, that is fucking wild. I'm curious and horrified, and at the same time, I do not want to Google this.
Yeah, you don't. Like, it's I would say YouTube it, because they can't show you anything on YouTube, right? Like,
fair.
It's like, it's, you can put the kid gloves on and you can basically see a bunch of people cry, like big dudes like me with beards crying into the camera, telling you about how they feel, like they've lost a part of their soul from watching something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even want to get into the specifics of how gross it is, but essentially, I mean, I'll try to illustrate it as wide strokes as possible. Children everywhere from the age of months, years old, up until maybe 9, and lots of them, essentially stolen from their homes, or even creepier, negotiated away from their families in exchange for cash, brought in, kept like animals, and used for these shows. That's the long and short of it.
Man, that's so unbelievably dark.
And it's real versus, you know, like, that's real. It's fucking creepy. It's scary. And that's where, I mean, luckily the dude was caught, but not soon enough, obviously. But knowing that shit like that exists seems like a better use of the FBI's time than going to John Podesta and questioning him about his art collection.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing, man. Like, I get why people are horrified by this Pizzagate thing, because, I mean, it's a horrifying thing to think that there is a powerful cabal of rich pedophiles, like, operating underneath our noses. And it's not unheard of. Like,
no, it happened all over history.
Yeah,
it happened during our time with the fucking Vatican.
Yeah, and in the 80s with the House of Lords, mm-hmm. In England. And Yeah, there are rich pedophiles out there. There are poor pedophiles out there too. And unfortunately, there's just a whole lot of children that get caught in the way of these monstrous people.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's even sadder when, you know, a lot of pedophilia abuse, things like that, it's from immediate friends and family, right? And the most horrific part about things like that that happen within families and friend structures and stuff is that people minimize the impact of that act. Like, you know, you get molested by your, I don't know, best friend, and maybe your family's not set up in the correct way, that, you know, maybe they're an unhealthy family, and it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, that's okay. You just, he's still family. Eek. Well, how the fuck do you handle living in that, right? Like, that's more horrific, and that's what people should be putting their time into, is like that kind of attitude of just allowing that shit to happen in your family because it's family, versus this boogeyman of like a satanic cult out to get your children's asshole.
Yeah, and when you put it in that way, I think it helps put things in perspective a little bit. That, yeah, there is a lot of horrible pain out there, but there are ways that we can help. And number one is like not normalizing this behavior, like you said.
Yeah.
And number two, don't investigate these crazy nonsensical hoaxes when you could give your time or your money to a cause that will help, like actual children out there.
Exactly. Like, I like to look at it in these terms. Whatever you can do to do good for the immediate around you, like your friends and your family and the people that you do business with, like you being an asset to everyone there is infinitely more powerful than you spending your time trying to solve Pizzagate.
Hell yes.
You just being focusing on doing right by everyone that you immediately touch, and you try to get that attitude in everyone that you work with and that you see, and they spread that attitude. And that's an easy way to affect your own community versus like trying to save the world on some shit that you read on the internet. Like, I think it's a symptom. Like, focus on the things that you can see and the things that are in your grasp and that you can actually affect. Like, all these people that are trying to solve Pizzagate, I guarantee you that there's a bunch of children that you could adopt right now, or there's a bunch of children that you could go help who are just having bad days. You could go and volunteer your time in all sorts of ways to really make an impact in 20, 30, 40 people's lives that you'll see throughout your time in your community versus, I'm the one that solved the Pizzagate, so give me a medal. Like, fuck you, man. Like, you're not doing any good.
Man, you nailed it. That's it, exactly. Your person's sphere of influence is small, but it is significant.
Yes, yes. The more you can reckon with that, the better your life is. Like, I think that when people, like, start a band or start a business or something like that, they set their sights on these, you know, gigantic goals, and they try to step over all the people that are immediately around them to get to them, when they don't realize what they should do is everyone locks arms and runs towards that goal together.
Fuck yeah, man. I back that fully. All right. So.
Actually, I fucked up this entire interview. You know, hail Kalama. fucking Satan is my friend. He's my father. You know, children taste great. Hillary Clinton has a direct line to my brain via microchip. These are all things that need to be said. I'm sorry that I ever brought up being a stalwart of the community or doing good about anyone.
So we talk about, before I let you go, we talk about horror movies quite a bit on this program.
Hell yeah.
I know that you're horror obsessed. I want you to hit us with a couple of suggestions of shit that we've probably never heard of.
Ah, fuck, you're going to put me on the spot like that?
Gotta do it, man.
All right, and I'm guaranteed to bring up some shit that someone else has brought up, because I've seen some of your past guests, including, I'm sure Trevor's already hit every underground thing that I can think of. But I'm gonna bring it old school. It's actually post old school, I guess, so 90s. And it's a Christmas movie, so it's great for this time of year. I don't know when this is released, but hopefully it's around Christmas.
Yes.
And it's a little ditty called Jack Frost. And it's not the one starring Michael Keaton, but it's Jack Frost. Essentially, what it's about is a prisoner is being transported across the country, and at the same time, a truck full of toxic waste is crossing them on an icy road. They crash, and essentially the prisoner who is a convicted murderer is converted through the toxic waste into an ephemeral snowman who can turn into water, turn into ice, reform, and, you know, make spikes out and all these different things. So if that doesn't sound appealing, I don't know what will.
It's worth noting that this is streaming right now on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch this for free.
Yes, and if you're from L.A., I believe that they're doing a 35mm showing of Jack Frost soon through the Cinema Grotesque or something like that.
That is awesome. I'd like to, you know, I think we really went wrong as a society when we stopped using toxic waste as the deus ex machina for literally everything in film.
I agree. Like, it's such just a, it's a perfect film bullet, right? Like, it's, if you're writing a film or a narrative, you're always looking for that thing that's going to let you do whatever you want. And it seems like a vat of toxic waste is a pretty good way to have an inciting incident.
A vat of toxic waste in a vast cabal of rich, powerful people.
Is that the Axe Slasher origin story? They got together with a ski mask, a EC comic, and toxic waste, put them together, and out came Professor Pizza?
It may just be.
I gotta ask him about that next time I see him. He keeps insisting that I have to use this ritual to summon him, and that's why we only play once or twice a year. But I'll get to the bottom of that and see if it's just a, you know, matter of getting some toxic waste and making it happen.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me today about every horrific conspiracy that you're involved in personally.
Absolutely, you know, and if... you're the only person that I'm going to reveal this stuff to, so I understand that this is just going to stay between us, and that's okay with me, you know, as long as we're not going with a wider audience. So, I mean, we're just having a chat about, you know, things I'm involved in. So now that you know what I'm involved in, if you release this to a wider audience, I think you can make an assumption of what kind of fate will become of you.
Well, relax. Our audience is hardly wider. It's literally dozens of people.
Dozens. Oh, so well, if we put ours together, then we may have 24s of people.
I have fun doing this, and I think that we got to talk about stuff that we don't normally get to talk about on the show.
Absolutely, man.
So
I had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's been a great use of my time, and thank you for giving me that time.
Let's go.
listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.